Now, one issue here, which we understand from having talked to the local government department, is that there's apparently advice to the Crown Law, or Crown Law advice, to the effect that if a law, a local law is passed which deals with the same subject matter as a state law, that law is, the local law is invalid. Now, there's varying acceptance of this advice. We think it's wrong, but we think the Local Government Act needs to be revised to ensure that local laws which are passed are valid, even though they cover roughly the same subject matter as a state law, such as the Criminal Code Act. Now, we're proposing model local laws for several issues. The Warrabinda case has been mentioned, and I note that the Hope Vale local law has been updated in 2006. It hasn't actually been adopted in Hope Vale, but it actually covers many of the same things like petrol sniffing, curfews and things like that. So that's an example of a local law which has been drafted to meet local conditions. So we're proposing that there should be a model local law on law and order matters, and it should cover things like juvenile safety via the provision of curfews, night patrols, safe houses and stipulated responsibilities and accountability of caregivers, alcohol management including provision of safe houses, gambling truancy and banishing troublemakers. And these things I think were covered in the initial consultation process for the review being done by the local government department. In relation to gambling, we're suggesting that council should be empowered to pass a local law which prohibits gambling in places other than public places, or to outlaw gambling altogether. So gambling is illegal if it's in a public place, but card gambling is, you know, in many of these communities is not illegal where it's carried out, but it's equally destructive to children's futures. The research that we've done suggests that gambling impacts very heavily on children getting food, getting sleep, getting to school. So it's not really enough to say that, you know, you mustn't gamble in a public place. So we think a local law should be able to be passed that actually bans gambling altogether. In relation to alcohol, we're suggesting that the council itself should be able to make bylaws or local laws declaring houses to be dry if the occupants regularly drink to excess, or if they cause a nuisance to neighbours or to children, or cause damage to the house itself. This might not be an issue if you've got an AMP that outlaws alcohol altogether, but in any case, that local law could be in place as a further backup mechanism. Now, I think the issue was raised this morning about tenancy provisions, and it was said by someone, I don't remember who, that a tenancy can require there to be no alcohol in the house. So a tenancy agreement, if you accept it, you must not drink in that house. But the reality is often that a tenant who may be, say, a frail elderly person or a couple may not be able to prevent kin from coming to their house and drinking. It's just a reality that that often is the case. So what happens then is, if you're going to enforce the tenancy agreement, the tenant would be blamed for that, and the tenant might in fact find themselves thrown out of the house even though they really had no power in reality to prevent the drinking from taking place. So what we are suggesting is that if the local law backs up that tenancy arrangement, then the criminal sanctions can be applied to those who actually cause the breach of the tenancy, and that is the people who are drinking in that house. We have a particular interest in very early childhood matters in the Institute, and even to the extent of looking at the condition of unborn children through fetal alcohol syndrome. We also are looking at the possibility of model laws being passed to protect unborn children against fetal alcohol syndrome. We understand that since the introduction of canteens, for example, that in Aracoon, drinking by women has become the norm, whereas in the past it hasn't been the norm. And if you have a look at the statistics, which most of you will probably be aware of, it's quite possible that in Cape York there's the highest prevalence of fetal alcohol syndrome in the world. And these people have permanent disabilities. It's not a curable condition. It's not something that can be fixed later on. It's a lifetime of disability, and the fact that there are poor life skills and behavioural problems and intellectual problems mean that fetal alcohol syndrome kids are more than likely to have contact with the justice system later on. So what we're suggesting, which I guess is somewhat radical, is that a model law should be developed which makes it an offence for a publican to serve alcohol beyond a certain limit to women who that publican ought reasonably to know is pregnant, and it should also be an offence for other people to buy and serve alcohol to such a person beyond these limits, or for the woman herself to drink beyond these limits. Now, obviously, there's a huge enforceability issue here, which will no doubt be brought to my attention. I'm fully aware of it. But I'm saying that, really, if you're looking at trying to prevent this problem, having a law that deals with these matters is just another weapon at our disposal to prevent it, and it's just something that women might be able to use themselves to resist peer pressure to drink. So, and again, it's only one string to the bow. This sort of thing, alcohol, as we all know, the issues go beyond policing, they go to many social issues, but we're just suggesting this is one possible attitude.